Don't worry, you're in the right place. Resilient Faith Online is now Amplify Your Authority. I'm Marissa Shadrick, and I'll continue to bring you a wonderful blend of powerful marketing strategies with a touch of personal growth insights for business success. So sit back, relax, and enjoy this week's episode. Welcome. I'm Marissa Shadrick, host of the Resilient Faith Online Show. I'm an online marketing coach and certified copywriter. And in this podcast, you'll find a different perspective on the external and internal challenges we face as online entrepreneurs. Join me for some inspiration and practical tips as we create positive change in the world. To continue the conversation, join me in my private Resilient Creator community. Go to marissashedrick.com/community. Hello, everyone. Welcome. Today I have two special guests with me. They are the authors of the latest book, Tandem, The Married Entrepreneur's Guide for Greater Work-Life Balance. And I am just so honored and pleased to have not only these authors, but friends of mine, Robert and Kaylee. Welcome to the podcast. So glad that you're here.
Hey. Yeah, Thank you, Marissa, for having us.
Hey, great. Thanks for having us. Yeah, it was great to see you in person a few weeks ago.
I know. It really is a small world, right? The entrepreneurial journey. We think global, but we do gather together. We do see each other face to face, and the world seems to be smaller when you're an entrepreneur, you know, and doing things online. We all seem to gather together and support each other. So that's awesome.
Yeah.
So interesting. You, both of you have been on this journey and you wrote a book recently. And I'm really excited to dive into this. And I kind of perused through it because I haven't had a chance to read the entire book yet. But I love, first of all, the layout of the book. Because this particular book, this guide, not only does have pullouts, you know, when you have little blocked areas where you highlight a certain quote, but you also have some QR codes throughout the chapters so people can get a little bit more. And there's actually videos. It's very well done.
Where
you can hear you guys talking about it. So it's like awesome. I love the layout. So the layout is fantastic.
And have you downloaded the digital workbook yet?
I haven't done that yet, but I'm going to, because I don't want, the thing is sometimes when I use my phone, things get lost. So I have to make sure that I'm doing it where I can put it all in one place and find it. I'm one of those old school that still navigate on desktop. And when I get to the phone, I'm trying to navigate and do stuff like that. It's a little different, but in any event, I would love to just start out talking about what inspired the book. Tell us a little bit about yourselves as a couple, as entrepreneurs, and what led you to write the book.
Well, I think it starts from childhood, right, honey?
Yes, childhood. That's where it all starts.
Is that where it all starts?
So I'm third generation entrepreneur. My great grandpa was a painting contractor. He'd go in and paint like the big, huge Vons grocery stores kind of type thing. My dad and my mom had a business as well. They are also into real estate. They bought a lot of properties growing up. So it was kind of in my blood. And, you know, I started working at the family business at a young age. My dad would work 6 days a week. So the business kind of became the mistress of our family. And it was really challenging on our home life. Because my dad just wasn't home. When you're a child, you know, you want your dad to come home, play with you, spend time, all that stuff. And so it was challenging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I didn't come from an entrepreneurial background, but my dad was a pastor and always tell people running a church and running a business is pretty much the same thing. In fact, I think the demands on a pastor's time, I think is probably more, or at least expectations are more from the congregation as opposed to just customers. And then you feel that, you know, that feel the heart tug is like, I got to serve the people. Right. And so, similar to Kaylee's upbringing is that, you know, dad was kind of, you know, it's ministry and congregation first, and then basically the family kind of gets the leftovers. And so both coming up from that background and feeling the, you know, the negative aspect of that, of the entrepreneur journey and going all in on the business or the ministry. As we kind of fast forward, as I left my corporate job 6 years ago to do marketing consulting for a small family business, noticed right away that these business owners were just working really hard and really harder than they need to, because coming from my background, I saw all the holes in the business that was leading to so much inefficiencies. And so they patch up the inefficiencies with putting more time in. Oh. And therefore, it robs them from time with family. Of course, that's not what they want to do, but that's what they knew how to do. That's how they knew how to deal with the business, which is put more time in. And so just, you know, just kind of flashing back a little bit, and I'm like, hey, wait a second, time out. Your problem's not marketing. Your problem's, there's a lot of other things that we need to fix. And so about 4 years ago, we just one client after another is facing the same issue. And then I'm like, hey, honey, I think there's a clear trend, a clear kind of ongoing cycle or ongoing parallel between, you know, the stress of the business and what's going on at home. And it's not just one business owner. It's not just our family, but a lot of entrepreneurs are facing the same thing. Yeah. And so we said, I think we need to really do something about this, because I don't see any really resource, any program, any books out there to show a married entrepreneur how to do both well at the same time. Mm-hmm. So the objective is for business owner is once we hit a certain milestone and once we get to retirement, then we'll enjoy life. And no one's showing them how to enjoy life while you're in journey of doing this business. And so that's where it started from childhood. And we started seeing it with our clients, and we kind of even experienced it firsthand when we started our own business. And then it's like, okay, we need to do something about this, because no one's really addressing this thing head on.
Yeah. And it sort of sneaks up on people, I think, because they're well-meaning, yeah. Right?
Yeah, right.
They want to provide for their families. They want to do the right thing. And back in the day, like my parents, it was the right thing to do to work hard, right? Mm-hmm. It was the culture to work hard, yeah. and to do, you know, the responsible thing and provide for your family. Yeah. But we have seen, you know, how that can create havoc for the whole entire family and the children too.
Yeah.
And to be able, and like I said, well-meaning, mm-hmm. but there's better ways of doing that. And sometimes yeah. it's a way of saying there is a better way. It doesn't yeah. have to kill
and
you.
Working hard, yeah, and there's nothing wrong with working hard. I mean, strong work ethic is still great and you still need it. It's just that you don't need to keep putting more time in. If something's mm-hmm. not working, the yeah. answer is not putting more time in.
Yeah.
It's just about working smarter.
Because a lot of times as entrepreneurs, we don't know what else to do besides put more work in.
Exactly.
Because we think that's the answer for everything. It's just work harder.
Right. Work harder. And it almost creates a false security, I think. Mm-hmm. Don't you think? Mm-hmm. That they think if I just work harder, this will be what'll take care of everything. And so they invest in that. It's like they justify all the time.
Yep, exactly.
And so the flip side is consequence. Yeah.
Yeah. And it starts to become part of their identity.
Right.
That even even though the business is doing well financially, they're still working harder and putting more time in because their work or their identity is tied to what they do. And mm-hmm. so they feel that the harder they work, the more they're looked upon as, you know, whatever, a better person or a better husband or leader or whatever. So it's also that work hard thing is also kind of ties into their own identity.
Yeah,
that's a hard part to kind of break.
It's like doing, but when do we get to the end of doing? You know what I mean? It's like never enough. You just keep going and going because you've never really came up with a vision a lot of times of what that looks like or what success looks like or what some of the fun things that you want to do with your family or with your business. And so you just keep striving.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. No, this is good. As I look through, I mean, some of the quotes in here, here's the book if you guys want to look at it. It's really a great cover. I love it. I love the title too.
Oh, thank you. Thanks.
Tandem. And you guys were on a tandem, right?
Yeah. Tandem. Yes. I finally got him on one because he was so afraid.
As you know, Sean Osborne, who's also in our mastermind group, you know, I think you weren't part of the group yet, but it was the previous previous group where they came up with this title. Right. Oh, no, you're you're part of the group.
I think I was right when.
You're just coming on.
Yeah, I was just coming on. Yeah.
And I was like, you know, the manuscript was almost done. And I was like, okay, we have a working title, but I know this isn't it. So, you know, I'm on the hot seat. I'm like, okay, I need a title. And so they came up with a title. And as soon as they hit on tandem, everybody just started going off on all the imagery and metaphors and this, that, and the other thing. And I started laughing because, as you've read the book, but there's a little story about us and tandem bikes. And then Sean says, oh, we've got a tandem bike you can ride. And I'm like, yeah, but you're in Houston. I'm like, that's not going to happen. Well, fast forward on our book tour, as you know, we end up at Sean's house because they threw us a party. And so we rode their bike that they don't use anymore because they have their own story.
So I actually got him on a tandem bike, you guys. I can't believe it. Yeah.
I know. It was funny because I watched you guys get on the bike and Kaylee, you weren't pedaling.
Yeah, see?
Okay, so this was Robert's fear. We would go to the beach because we love the water. And I'd be like, honey, let's rent a tandem bike. And he's like, no. And I'm like, why not? He's like, I don't know what to do with you. I can't put you in the back because you won't pedal. And if I put you in the front, you'll be like checking out the waves and the dolphins and you'll run over a rollerblader. So he's like, no, this isn't going to work. I'm like, oh, don't be so afraid. Come on, try it.
I saw she wasn't pedaling. Plus, at one point, she had her feet stretched out. Yeah. She wasn't even, her feet weren't even on the pedals.
Well, you know, Robert was so afraid of me not pedaling, so I had to live up to that expectation.
Yeah. Yeah. She's doing it for the camera. And then if you heard, you know, the volume's up, I'm kind of, we did a little loop around and then I looked at Sean. I was like, is she pedaling? And you can hear him say, no.
Well, in real life, we do. I mean, we do want to work with each other. And I love some of these quotes here. Like one of them said, sit down with your spouse and write out your vision for the future, right? As a couple, your vision will establish your priorities, which will make it easier to set boundaries on your focus and time. So how practical is this? Do you guys do this? To sit down with your spouse and write out your vision? Do you do that like once a year or how?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Many coaches, consultants, service providers, and even course creators understand the power of having an email list. It is your greatest asset. However, lead magnets have not been converting like they used to. The market has changed. Hi, I'm Marissa Shadrick, online marketing consultant, certified brand and certified copywriter. I've got a brand new membership program, and it's called Amplify Your Message. This private membership is exclusively to help you with your lead acquisition, your lead magnets. It's so affordable. Anyone can be a part of this. Only $29 a month, and I show up for coaching calls. We brainstorm ideas. I give copy critiques. I help you improve your lead acquisition process. You can get all the information at marissashadrick.com/community. I'll see you there. Take care. How does that work?
I mean, there's always little things, right? Little adjustments along the way because you have that grand vision for your life. But of course, the path to that vision isn't always a straight line. So you got to make adjustments. And so that's why we have our weekly meetings on Mondays. And that's one of the areas that kind of keeps us on track. And even if we have to make adjustments here or there, they're not huge adjustments because we're doing them as we go along. We keep tabs on things, right? As opposed to waiting years later and go, oh my gosh, we're kind of totally off in a different direction and we now to kind of get back on track. So,
And I think too, when you do it with your family or even your family for your business, you get everybody to buy in and you get all these different ideas. And a lot of times it turns out to be something better than what your idea was yourself because everybody else has other input and something way so much bigger than us.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's easier, like Robert was saying, to stay focused and not get sidetracked because you can get the plans out, especially when we're having our weekly meetings and we can say, okay, are we getting closer to where we want to be or is this a distraction? Because it's so easy for Shiny to come and then I'm off, you know, chasing something else. But so that helps us stay focused and on track.
Yeah. And so you both work from home, correct?
Right.
You both work from home. And so you see each other a lot. So you have meetings. You have meetings. Uh-huh. You interact. Yeah. For those, my husband works from home too. He travels and I work from home. So I can relate to that. He's upstairs though and I'm downstairs. So we have our own floor. We've got our own wing. Floor and our own space. Because we tried sharing an office in the beginning. And he was always too loud. Then he said I was too loud. And then I'd get on a Zoom call and they'd say, who's that man behind you? Because he'd face that wall and then I'd face the other wall. And it just didn't work. It was not a tandem at all. Yeah, so for sure. But how does that dynamic, how long have you guys been doing that, working together?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, when I was in pharmaceutical sales, and that's where I spent a bulk of my career, especially towards the tail end, my office was at home. We were always remote anyway because everybody's so spread out. So,
and this was way before the pandemic.
Yeah, so that it really hasn't changed. Like when I transitioned from there to, you know, doing our consulting full time, that dynamic or those logistics never change. And so we just worked from the beginning of just how to have each other's space. And yeah, we don't share an office either.
No, that would never work.
couldn't work. But just the dynamic of, you know, being in the same house a lot, but in pharmaceuticals, I was kind of out in the field most of the time too. But anyways, all I have to say is, you know, we just learned how to kind of work with, you know, we have to have our own space, but then we also have to make sure we have time to connect. And that's where the weekly meetings come in. I mean, sure, we talk to each other during the week. It's not like we don't talk to each other, but that intentional time to really connect and stay on the same page. And when the updates or any change in vision or direction, whatever, that's the time that even though we're working in the same house, same building, but we're not always, you know, just talking to each other all the time, right? 24/7, because she's got her own thing she's doing. I got my own thing. And we just have to make sure we had dedicated time and space to be able to come together and connect.
Some people think we're together all the time. And just because we're in the house doesn't mean we're together. You know, he's in his office. And like you say, and then if we go out on date night or in the evening, then we try and not talk about work stuff because it could just be all consuming, you know?
Yeah, for sure. And I totally relate to that because sometimes in the morning, I'll just tell my husband, well, I'll see you tonight, even though he's upstairs, because I know sometimes, you know, we're just back-to-back appointments or whatever it might be. And so, yeah, I totally get it, but it works out that way. But the nice thing too, is that when you do connect with your spouse and you're talking about vision, how things are going, goals and everything, it's sort of the same way that we spend time on our own reflecting. It seems like a good time to kind of reflect, celebrate wins, and share some of those things. Because I know we can't keep it in. When something great happens, I gotta go upstairries and tell him, but he's usually on the phone. But it is
Get off the phone, honey.
I know.
I got something to share. Hurry up. I
know. And you can't tell now with the earbuds. He's usually on the phone. He's gesturing me, you know. So I go, okay, I'll tell you later. So, but anyway, it's a good time to really reflect and speak into your spouse as well. It's like he shared something with me today and I just gave him a hug and a kiss. I said, congratulations. I know how hard you worked on that. You know, that's really a great accomplishment.
Yeah,
and really, and that's his love language too. Words. Mine are the little things. Like when it rains, he leaves an umbrella outside on the porch so I don't get wet if I go out. He does those little things. He does those little things and he does it before he goes out of town. So I have to wait till he gets back, but he does little things like that. Or in the
something rains when he's out of town. You're on your own.
I have to find my own stinking umbrella.
Hey, honey, where's the umbrella?
Maybe that's it. Maybe he doesn't want me texting him, asking where the umbrella is.
Oh, it's self-serving. Yeah.
She probably texts him every day when he's gone, what's the weather like, honey?
No, but he'll do other things. Like, for example, I just got to brag on him for a second. But he'll do other things. Like, for example, in the pantry, since we have an upstairs, we've got a stock of a cute little, like, containers up there above on a shelf in the laundry room where I have extra bottled water, you know, because I don't want to forget when I'm upstairs and have to go downstairs again. But if you've noticed, I'm challenged when it comes to height. So it's hard for me to get my arm and my hand into the bin and pull the water bottle out. So last week he just tipped it. He put it on its side. So it's open in the front and I could just pull it. And I thought, oh, that's so sweet of him. I mean, it looks terrible, but it was so sweet of him because I can reach in and grab the water bottle. But those are little things. But I get the fact that you know, when we're working with each other to acknowledge the wins, like back to those meetings that you were having and really being able to pull the language that maybe they wouldn't hear from peers or anyone else, because you see what they do, right? You see the other side that most people don't see. And I think that's really valuable. I know when he talks to me about things that I don't really notice about myself, and he'll call that out, or he'll speak life into something that I think is not a good thing, but he gives me a different perspective. It's so helpful. Do you find that's really helpful? Because your partner knows you better than anybody else.
Apparently.
I think that's really helpful. And I want to go real quick back to the wins, to celebrate even the small ones. Mm-hmm. Don't wait for that big, huge, earth-shattering one. Celebrate the small ones along the way. And I want to say, with encouraging, what really helps us out a lot with our weekly meetings, every week we will say one thing that we're grateful for that person. And sometimes that can carry you through, like you were talking earlier, through the whole week. You know, like, mm-hmm. oh, that really made my day or my week, or
yeah,
filled exactly. my tank.
Exactly. Well, on the flip side, let me see. How can I word this? Where are times or maybe things that get a little bit escalate, maybe not because of your spouse or anything happening at home, but just work, some kind of challenge or something, and you're just not in the mood to talk it out. You're just kind of in a grumpy mood. How do you handle those times when you're just not yourself and you just, you know, you don't want to put a damper on the other person, but you know, anything like that where there's conflict, or maybe it's not such a great day, or you really don't want to fix it today. You know, there's some days that women especially, you know, we don't want our men to fix things. We just want them to listen. But are there times like that where we just give our spouse space to just kind of work it through? Or is it, I mean, how do you handle that? I'm sure it's probably different.
We never have days like that. What are you talking about? Yeah, it's all rosy here.
That's all fixed.
Well, I do know that sometimes, like, I'll be upset with Robert about something or just grumpy or whatever, and it never seems like it never fails. The Lord will convict me to either be more patient, more loving, reminds me all the things. He'll ask me, like, okay, so look at X, Y, and Z. Look at, he got the umbrella for you every day last week. You know what I mean? And put it out. He'll remind me of things that to be grateful for. And so it's a little bit more harder to be upset with you because.
Oh, how could you be upset with him? Yeah, look at him. Look at that face.
I think from a kind of a practical level, as you're asking Marissa about, you know, the situation might not have anything to do with me, but mm-hmm. let's say Kaylee's just upset and, you know, maybe she doesn't want to talk about it. She needs to talk about it. She's a verbal processor, so she's going to talk about it. But I think it's really important to understand what she needs or what the spouse needs. It might be me too. Mm-hmm. So, you know, generalizing, men want to fix things, women want to be heard. And mm-hmm. so when she wants to be heard and I'm trying to fix things, well, the conversation is not going to go well because she's just going to be frustrated and upset because she doesn't feel I'm listening because mm-hmm. I'm not, because I want to fix the problem, but that's not what she wants. Or that's not what she needs. And so mm-hmm. I think it's important to understand what is needed at the time. And so, like, if you know ahead of time what you need, like, if I come to her and say, I just need you to listen, or, hey, I need some feedback, or, you know, basically I need a solution. So the person, when you're presenting an issue, they either need to be heard, understood, empathized, or they need a solution and need to fix through. But right. when you're trying to offer the other person something that you think they want that they don't need, then it's just going to create conflict. And so it's good. Number one is, you know, I mean, anytime you have any time is a frustrating day, you definitely want to be able to share with your spouse mm-hmm. to kind of work it out. But a lot of times they don't talk to their spouse because they don't think they're going to get the right thing back, right? Mm-hmm. I want to be heard and understood, but then all of a sudden, your spouse is going to try and fix things. So sometimes things don't get brought up because of that, because there's always tension in that. Mm-hmm. So a good way to go about it is to preface it ahead of time, is in the first part of the conversation, is if you already know what you need, I just need to be listened, understood, and just talk it through, or I actually need a solution. Then mm-hmm. your spouse can be in the right frame of mind. Like for me, I can be in the right frame of mind to not go solution oriented, but just listen and just ask questions and help her process through it. Because at the end of the day, she'll figure it out mm-hmm. what she needs. Sometimes she doesn't actually know what she needs. Like we've had that question, like, what if their spouse doesn't know what they need? Well, still just listen and understand the process. Yeah. Don't offer a solution. Cause if she doesn't know what she needs, then don't try to solve a problem that we don't even know that exists.
Right? This is so true. This is so true. Sometimes we just don't know what the answer is. And I know for us, we often say, well, what can I do to help? That's one of the things that we say, yeah. especially with him. I just don't know sometimes what he needs. And I don't think, because he's not really one to vocalize it, you know? So I'll just say, what can I do to help? Is there anything I can do to help? And mm-hmm. the other thing is when I'm being really bratty and I'm not being very nice or something.
Marissa, you?
I know. Going to him and apologizing, I mean, sincerely apologizing goes such a long way. And I actually learned that from him because in 36 years of marriage, he's always been one that if something, some tension throughout the day, he's the first to say, I am so sorry. It doesn't matter whose fault it was. Mm-hmm. I should not have contributed to this and escalated this. And then I feel really super bad. I feel worse because he took the high road. And then, but I learned that from him. And it really comes down to one word. And this is something that I'll tease about him, but I always talk him up a lot, but honoring him mm-hmm. and him honoring me and not doing anything that would jeopardize that because I honor him in the way mm-hmm. that I talk to him or treat him. And he certainly honors me. And so I know he's got my back. So I think,
That's good.
What do you think? I think that's kind good. Of like the message in this book is just learning how to honor mm-hmm. each other.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and I think not taking it personally too. Like it's not all about me because Robert's having a hard day or he's upset. It's not all about me and what I'm feeling or what I'm thinking. It's like, usually it's something the other person's going through. So if you can just not take it personally and just be there for them. I know like one time I was upset about something and you asked me, what I needed. And I said, I wanted a hug. And he looked at me crazy. Like I had a third eye or something. He's like, a hug? I'm like, yeah, I just want a hug. He's like, okay. He gave me a hug. And then he looks at me. Okay, now what? And I walked away like, okay, I'm all happy. Everything's fine now. And he's standing there like, there's got to be more to this. She set me up for something.
See how simple it is, Robert?
I know. That was like one of the first when it first, I mean, because we went through 2 years of counseling, but it wasn't until that moment where I was like, wow, empathy goes a long way. It makes things really quick because, you know, I had a 5-point, solution to her problem.
You had an entire framework, process.
Oh, yeah, I had it all worked out. It was going to be great.
Oh my gosh. That is so funny. So with the book, I want to know, what is your favorite part of this book? Is it a chapter? What's your favorite section when you wrote this book? What's one that really is your
favorite? What's yours, Annie?
I would say my favorite probably was the inefficiencies. There's a lot of inefficiencies in small business, and sometimes it just takes small things to do, and they all stack up so you can have better...
Chapter 9.
Okay, chapter 9. Better margin of money and time, because so many times in entrepreneurs, small business, have you gone to your favorite restaurant? There's a product or service that you love and you're already thinking, oh, they don't charge that much for it. And the next day they're gone and you would have been willing to pay more for that product or service if they had increased the price. And so I think I have a heart for just small businesses succeeding.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. And a lot of those can be in a little increment ways.
So your favorite part is the last half of the book?
Yes.
But that's a great point. That's a great point that small adjustments can bring big returns. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be more, or something huge. And that is true. Small adjustments. So that's great. How about
they're
Robert?
Thinking it's got to be a huge thing, but we found that to not be the case.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So chapter 9 was kind of like the culmination of the book, at least from a business perspective, because like half the book, as you notice, is kind of seems half of it. The first 5 chapters focus on the relationship, conflict resolution and all that. And the last half of the book is on the business, but it's all works together. It's all about how to set healthy boundaries between business and home, how to be able to resolve the issues at hand, the conflict hands that the business creates or the stress of life doing, trying to do life creates. But then ultimately, how do you fix the business so it's not running your life?
Mm-hmm.
That you're actually running the business. you know, you start the business for freedom. Most entrepreneurs create this business not just for money. Money's part of it, but ultimately it's for freedom. Mm-hmm. To maybe manage your own schedule. But a lot of times what we've seen, and as I'm sure you've seen too with some of your clients, is that the business is running them. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they're always trying to look for a solution. And it's usually either putting in more time or they're looking for that home run. So mm-hmm. chapter nine is, it's the title is Stop Swinging for the Fences. Mm-hmm. Because we're always looking for that next greatest and biggest thing. Like, you know, we're probably, because we're in marketing, we get inundated by these Facebook ads or LinkedIn ads talking about the next greatest and best marketing thing that's going to just totally change your life, right?
And every 3 months, it's something different. You know what I mean?
And then that's what I would get hired for, was for marketing. But then I'd look in the business. I'm like, no, your real issue is not necessarily market. It's not a volume issue. You've got a margin issue. Mm-hmm. You're working too many hours for not enough of return. Both in
which
time
is chapter
and money.
Eight, chapter yeah, eight, by the exactly. way, yeah. Increase the time margin, your time yeah. margin.
And then, mm-hmm. so chapter nine, what it does is it culminates is like looking at all the little inefficiencies. And so you start measuring the metrics, like where you spend your time, you know, what you're doing in marketing and what kind of return are you getting, you know, your open rates, right? Or your click-through rates from a marketing perspective. But even your close rates from a sales perspective, you look at all these, you just got to start measuring, looking, mm-hmm. keeping track of the metrics in your business. Mm-hmm. And if you just fix a small percentage or even fraction of a percentage point here and there across the board, you're going to make the huge return that you're looking for. Because in that chapter
this is
was
huge.
Yeah. In that chapter mm-hmm. was about one of our clients who was like hemorrhaging, you know, over $1 million a year at one point. Mm-hmm. And they're looking for sales. They're like, more sales, more sales. And I'm like, no, sales is not your issue. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're already doing $5 million a year in revenue. And I go, there's no reason why you shouldn't turn a profit with $5 million of revenue, right? Mm-hmm. But even that, we're always in the mentality of top line instead of bottom line. How do we fix the bottom line? Not the top mm-hmm. line. How do we fix the bottom line? Mm-hmm. And so we just went through and started assessing, putting metrics to everything. And mm-hmm. it's just like a fraction percentage point here, 2 percentage points over there. All that culminated into going from losing $1.5 million a year to then all of a sudden going to black.
Yeah.
Within a year, right?
And it's strategic focus, right? Because you're focusing mm-hmm. on an area that you're going to create a small change. Mm-hmm. I always say, you know, people look at, okay, when you're creating a business, you look at income minus your expenses, and you should have a profit, right? Just general speaking. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I'm not a math person. But then you have to also look at, once you have profit minus your time equals freedom or another dang job that's killing you, right? Mm-hmm. So you got to figure out like how much time it's taking and then look and see what can I do to adjust. Would you mm-hmm. agree to that? That's my own little formula.
Well, yeah. I mean, like I said, the typical answer is if things aren't working well in the business financially, you put more time in, that's what you're going to fix.
Yeah.
And the problem, like when I talked about the metrics, if you don't know what your problem is,
yeah. yeah.
then all you're doing is putting more time in into the thing that might not be the solution anyway, right?
Yeah.
So that's why you've got to really assess the activities that you're doing in the business and what kind of return are you getting for those efforts,
yeah.
whether it's the money you're spending in marketing or just the time you're spending into prospecting or just the business owner's time, right? That's more chapter seven, I guess, about the time margin is mm-hmm. 65% of the average business owner's time is on in the business activities, the busy work, mm-hmm. and only 35% of the time on the business activities, which is the stuff that's actually going to grow your business, the productive right. work. And so that's where we're spending our time. And mm-hmm. so obviously the return on time for a typical business owner is not good because it's not concentrated on the most productive activities that would produce the results you're looking for.
Right. Absolutely. No, well said. And that's going to help everybody all the way around, not only their business, but their relationships, their own health, sanity,
exactly.
everything. So what's one, we're almost getting to the end of our interview. I'm so bummed. What's a takeaway from the book that you'd want to leave everybody with from Tandem, or even, you know, aside from the book, just something from life experience, from writing this book, what's something that you want to leave them with? And also I want to see how the audience can connect with you. So those two questions, what's something you want to leave them with, maybe from life experience or experience together, that you think is really important to let that linger and sit with them so they think about it? What's something you'd want to share?
So I just want to encourage everybody to step outside of your comfort zone and live by faith, because we just got back from a 6-week book tour, which some of it was planned, some of it was not planned. And before we went on our trip, the Lord told me, he's like, okay, that I need to let go of the unknown, having control, all my ducks in a row, because I had the choice whether I wanted to have a good trip or a horrible trip and ruin Robert's trip, because he's like, things are not going to be all planned and, you know, you're not going to know everything. And so I had to make my mind up ahead of time. And yes, it was scary. There was a lot of unknowns, but it turned out to be a great trip. So I just want to say, don't be afraid to step out of your comfort zone and try something different, because you never know what can happen. And we met some wonderful, fabulous people along the way. So thankful we didn't have every minute planned, because we had time for opportunities for the unknown. Some people are like, oh, we want to introduce you to this person. We went to lunch with some complete strangers, different things like that, that if we had every minute planned out, it would never have happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Good
for
point.
For me, it's, you know, the reason why a lot of business owners face the lack of work-life balance is, one, they don't think it's possible. And this is the way it's got to be. And so don't accept the status quo, right? And as Christians, because we're reaching a Christian audience, you know, I think it's in Corinthians, it's like, do not be conformed by the things of the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So we've bought in, even in the Christian circle, bought into how the world does business. And it's to accept that you got to sacrifice everything for the business and then at the expense of your relationships. And that's become an accepted standard.
Yeah.
And so it's like, no, that's not how it has to be. But if that's how you want to do it, fine. But if you want something better, don't accept the status quo and look for solutions to do things, life and business, better. And it starts with there's one thing you can start with, is establishing healthy boundaries between business and home. Prioritize faith and family. And with the other time that you have compartmentalized for the business, is figure out how to do it better. How to do business better, become more efficient, become more productive, become more profitable, like even increasing your profit per transaction, right? Just simple things like that, is how do you become more profitable in time and money in the business with the time that you have? Because if you just figure out we're going to fix the business by just putting more time in, then you're just, it's just going to be a blah.
Exactly.
I heard a great analogy or metaphor is the difference between a river and a swamp is the river has boundaries that keeps the thing flowing, the water flowing in the same direction. The swamp has no boundaries, and you just got a mess.
Yeah, that's right? Good.
And that's what our life is like in business and marriage. It's just the swamp. There's no boundaries. Create the boundaries, and you'll see within those boundaries, now you can create a good flow in instruction of business, so it just works better, because now you know what you're working with as far as boundaries, and then you figure out what that time you have, how to do it better.
That's awesome. Good words, good words. And very inspiring. I think that breathes hope into people, right? And sometimes the very challenges that they're facing could be a sign. It's time to stop and do it a different way.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? And so sometimes rather than look at it like, oh no, one more thing, think maybe this happened for a reason. Maybe there's a better way of doing this. And, you know, I'll give you one quick example. You know, Facebook ads, with the algorithm that changed at the end of last year, the beginning of this year, the algorithm changed. I kind of threw a loop. The ads were getting really expensive. And I was running a campaign and I thought, oh my gosh. And I was going to get frustrated. And I go, this was my year to invest, put more money into Facebook ads, more, right? And I finally said, no. And I said, I'm going to find another way. And here we are down to the end of the year. And I did find another way. And it's actually simpler. And I closed some things. I ended some things. And I'm trying to streamline some things to work better. And it's actually, my projection for next year is going to be so much better. Yay. But had I not gone through that challenge, that would not have happened. I would have just continued on and on and on. So
Yeah. So don't do the same thing over and over again, expecting different results, right? Yeah.
Because even a tandem bike has brakes. Sometimes you got to put on the brakes, right?
Yes.
And it's got a steering wheel.
And it has a steering wheel, absolutely. So you just make sure that whoever you have riding the bike is pedaling, right?
Yeah. Or just shifting their weight the same, because there's definitely a work life balance and work like teamwork metaphor in tandem bike, because I could actually feel when Kaylee was not working with me or working against me on just shifting weight.
Yeah.
So even though you could be welded together on a bike frame, it doesn't necessarily mean you have good teamwork, right?
Yeah, for sure. This has been so much fun. Such a pleasure to have you guys.
Thank you.
This is awesome. So tell everyone, how can they connect with you? What's a way that they can connect and maybe get a copy of this book? What's the best way that they can get a copy of this
book? So the book, you can just go to thetandembook.com. And you can even download the first chapter for free. And then just follow us on social. Instagram, Facebook is Power Couples by Design. And
awesome. Yeah,
and the book's on Amazon as well. Mm-hmm.
Very good. I'll make sure to put all the links there. So if I don't have them yet, make sure you send them to me. I'll put all the links in the show notes. And then you guys are able to access this book, Tandem. It's got a lot in there. And like I said, those QR codes even provides more information
for you. It's like a course. It's like an e-course in a book.
You know what? And I think this would even help people if they're not married, because you're talking about conflict resolution, relationships, mm-hmm. business. I think it even helped them. Or maybe even prepare them before they get married.
it's all the topics that we chose, even on the relationship side, it's all transferable skills.
Right. Yeah.
It works with any kind of relationship, both personal and even business. So absolutely. For
sure. Well, thank you so much.
Thanks,
it's just
Marissa,
a great honor to have you. Thank you so much. Thank you for
You're
being
welcome.
On the podcast.
You're welcome.
All righty. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
If you enjoyed this podcast and you'd like to be part of the Amplify Your Authority podcast community, I would be thrilled. Not only do you get the Monday Marketing Memo, quick reads to help you start the week, but you also receive each new episode in your inbox with all the links, all the show notes, and all the content upgrades. You'll also have an opportunity to submit your copy for critique live on LinkedIn when we record the podcast. Or if you'd like to be a guest, there'll also be information on how you can do that. Thanks so much. Hope to see you inside the community.